Good morning, brethren. As you may be aware, I have an accent. But don't worry, it will be in English. Just not American English. So, what are you doing at the feast, brethren? Not why are you here, but what are you doing here? To get our minds in gear, let me ask you another question. How many remember the Twilight Zone? Yeah. Really strange series of programs that got you to think and wonder about man, his relationships, and the universe, and strange things that could happen, or might possibly happen, or could never happen. But it got you to think. My favorite episode was the one where the aliens came to Earth professing peace, prosperity, and plenty, and goodwill to man. Yeah, we've had that before, haven't we? But nevertheless, at the United Nations, the ambassador leaves a book which he says will explain our intentions to you. We want you to have peace and plenty. End warfare. Here is a book. But we can't read it because it was in their language. It's a foreign language. Well, while you decipher the book, if you're willing, come with us to our planet. See the paradise we have. And you know we want only the best for you. That's a good deal. However, the cryptographers have a hard time deciphering the book. What does this book actually say? While they're doing that, people leave in droves. This wonderful paradise they promised. Finally, they say, we've got the cover translated. It's a great book. It says, to serve man. Oh, that's so comforting and wonderful. We're so relieved. No point translating the rest of the book. They've come to serve man. Well, Mr. Michael Chambers, the main translator, decides to go with the aliens. And as he goes up the ramp, he's held by his co-worker, Penny. No, you can't go, Mr. Chambers. Why not? I've got something inside the book translated. To serve man, it's a cookbook. And man is the principal ingredient. Too late. The ramp is taken up. Mr. Chambers has taken the board. Off he goes with the aliens. The last line of the program asks, who would have thought man would go from dust to dessert? Good program. How many times throughout history have you heard that before, though, from other people? I've come to serve you. I want the best for you. Give me the power. I'll give you a paradise. Only we find out too late, all they wanted was wealth, power, control, and our destruction. So what are we doing at the Feast of Tabernacles? What are we doing here? Not why are you here, but what are you doing here? What am I doing here? Well, we're here to celebrate the coming millennium, the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. And we feast and rejoice, and we have very good fellowship. However, at the first resurrection, brethren, we will be spirit beings. We won't need to eat and drink. But the people in the world who survive the end times will need those blessings too. So, what will we be doing at the start of the millennium when the Feast of Tabernacles is actually fulfilled? Will we be feasting or will there be work to do? My purpose today is just to discuss how the world tomorrow will begin and try and show what we will be doing at the start of the millennium. You know, from a certain point of view, we have already been visited by an alien from somewhere out there. And he came to the earth a long time ago. Let's read the first part of Matthew 20, verse 28. I'll be reading from the Phillips translation if yours is different. Matthew 20 and verse 28. Just as the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve. He said he'd come to serve man. He didn't give mankind a book at that time, but he has inspired a book over the years to be preserved and kept for us, to teach us how to serve man. Obviously, the book is the Bible. As a result of that book, here we are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, let's consider this then. That's all well and good. But what would the world be like when Jesus Christ returns to the earth to begin the 1,000-year reign on earth? Will there be abundant food, plenty of fresh water, amazing educational facilities, tremendous wealth? Well, if that is the case, we've got a utopia already, don't we? We don't need Christ to come back. If we go back and reread Matthew 24 and Revelation 6 on, we will find that the earth will be in a terrible state, almost completely destroyed, obliterated, and ruined. The brutalized population will be hiding in rocks and caves, trying to survive any way they can. They'll be in poor health. Water will be contaminated. Air will be unbreathable, thanks to warfare, nuclear fallout, chemical and biological weapons. Where will the food come from? Whatever it takes to survive will be done, and that includes cannibalism. How bad will it be? This is a cheerful message. How bad will this be? Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. For then there will be great misery, such as has not happened from the beginning of the world until now, and will never happen again. Yes, if those days had not been cut short, no human being would survive. The events in the end times become so bad that unless Jesus Christ does come back and intervenes, no human being would survive. The Moffat translation says, be saved alive. That's the state of the world when the war tomorrow begins, at the start of the millennium. It won't be a time to only eat and drink or to feast. What would be required is for someone to be able to serve and be willing to serve mankind. Is anybody qualified to do that? Yes. Jesus Christ. We've already read how he came the first time and he said, I've come to serve. I've come to serve man. But there's more. He's not going to do it alone. Notice what's written in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 to 20. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. All this is God's doing. For he has reconciled us to himself through Christ. And he's made us agents of the reconciliation. God was in Christ, personally reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. And has commissioned us with the message of reconciliation. We are now Christ's ambassadors, as though God were appealing directly to you through us. When the world is broken and needs attention, when it needs reconciliation, healing and hope, Christ will send out his ambassadors. That's us. They will go out to help, to educate, to comfort. What we'll be doing at the start of the millennium, we'll be there to serve mankind. Part of our training today is not only to preach the message of reconciliation and hope to the world, but for us to learn how to serve man today. How are we going to start this transformation of the world tomorrow? No, doesn't work. Can't click my fingers. Not going to work. Jesus Christ has returned to the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. From there, he will commence his work of healing and teaching. Israel will be brought back to the promised land and be re-educated. People will be sent out from that area to the rest of the world to teach God's way of life so they can receive his blessings as well. How are we going to gain their trust? They've just been through horrific end times, starving, sick, fearful, utter shock. How are we going to gain their trust? I'm from the government, I'm here to help you. No, that's not going to go down too well. Doesn't go down too well today either. Then we need healing, clean water, nutritious food, comfort, kindness, and hope. Will we be striking rocks in the wilderness for them, as Moses did for Israel, to bring water out for them to drink? How are we going to clean up the soil? Where is the seed going to come from? What are they going to eat while the crops do grow? Will God provide manna for them again, as he did to Israel in the wilderness? Do we think that our commission to go and make disciples of all the nations in Matthew 28 ends at the return of Jesus Christ? We're done. Christ is back. No. Our mission will be to continue to go out into all of the world from Jerusalem and serve mankind. We will teach them the gospel and provide the healing exactly as the early church was asked to do. How do you think we'll reach the people around the earth? Are we going to walk to all the locations? Spirit beings? Snap a finger, we can be there faster than you can think it. So will we need aeroplanes and ships and railways? Maybe. Maybe. How will the teaching be done? Will it all be verbal? Hey, come listen to me, I've got a message for you from Jerusalem. Or will there be electricity somewhere? Computers? TVs? I don't know. I'm trying to get you to think. What do you think? How are we going to accomplish that? How are we going to teach man how to take care of waste materials properly when there's no trash pickup and no flushing toilets? That's a big problem, guys. Where are they going to bathe and do their laundry? These are practical things they're going to have dealt with. They're going to need housing. How are we going to build the houses? Provide clothing. Who's making the tools? We have a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. Now, we're not going to be there to lord it over them, to build our own empires. That's not what we're there for. We'll be down in the mud with them, helping them build and mold the new world according to God's instructions. Once we can establish we're there to help them by our actions, not just by our words, then we can start to educate them in the way of life that God wants all of mankind to live. We show our love to our fellow man and we serve them and comfort them. We will teach them the laws of God, the annual holy days, how to keep them. They will know the life they previously lived only ended in suffering, misery, violence, and death. Now they can learn a way of life that will produce life. In time, the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Can't say that. Excuse me. Good year. In time, the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. And this time, they will listen attentively. They too may repent and seek baptism and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, becoming, as we heard yesterday, disciples of Christ, just like us. God wants not just the church, but all of mankind to be saved. And we have a part in that to play. Now, while Christ is sending out his ambassadors from Jerusalem, people will come to Jerusalem to hear Christ in person. He will send out his Holy Spirit, represented by living waters, to bring life and healing, not just to the land and the water, but to the people. We can read the prophecies in Isaiah and get a much clearer picture of that. I'm just trying to get your mind in gear here. Will this happen all at once? There you go. All tomorrow. Done. How long does it take to grow an apple tree? How long does it take to grow wheat? It's going to take time. After only 2 days of the fulfilled Feast of Tabernacles, we're going to make a pretty good start. But there'll be so much more to do. Like what? Isn't that enough? Well, no. We have to teach the people in the millennium to be ready to serve the people who come up in the great white throne judgment, where not just millions, but billions will be coming up, wanting to learn and will learn the way of life that God wants them to live. But that's the message for another time. So let's sum up what we've covered. In the Twilight Zone episode, Aliens come to Earth professing wonderful things for man. They give man a book that says on its cover to serve man, but they mean for dessert. Jesus Christ came the first time to give his life as a sacrifice for all of mankind. And when he comes a second time, he comes as a forgiving God, an older brother, a loving savior, a compassionate healing ruler. He gave us an example to follow and a book with instructions in that tells us how to serve man. What are we doing at the feast? We are learning what's in this book, how to apply it and practice it now so we can serve not just now, but in the world tomorrow. We serve our fellow man, not just for today, not just for the millennium, but also the Great White Throne period. Remember that what we're doing here today is not just feasting, fellowshipping, having a wonderful time, but we're here learning how to serve and how to serve man, but not for dessert.